You're in King this morning, some veterans bills. I know one of them had something to do with the wings that they might add on to one of the halls over there.
Yeah.
A couple things. What happened there?
Well, the governor signed a bill that will be a placeholder so we can start dealing with the future of replacing two wings on the King Veterans Home. And it's a process where there are some federal dollars available, and so we want to get in the running for those federal dollars. And hopefully we'll be successful there.
It wasn't the only bill, was it?
No, there was another one that dealt with $250,000 for a grant program dealing with non-for-profits, dealing with helping troubled veterans that are coming back from combat that are having certain problems to deal with, which is a really good bill also.
Want to add anything today?
Well, there's, of course, the other one that was really a cleanup measure that dealt with a lot of obsolete language. Mostly it was called, a cleanup bill that dealt with the rewriting the rules, or write the rules. And we've done one like that for transportation. We've done one like that for Veterans and Military Affairs. So those were the three bills that were mine. And then, of course, we just got done signing the town TIF bill. My name is Petruski. Jerry.
He's from the neighborhood.
Yeah, we're kind of right in the middle of my district here.
The longest trip.
You guys got all your, what's the hookup that way?
Yeah, we're still on your stuff.
Good, that's easy.
Yes.
All set?
Almost. I roll this as my backup.
Yeah, that's good. Great. Well, obviously, we're thrilled to be here in the town of Rib Mountain, back in north central Wisconsin again. A week ago, we were at the Wausau Area Chamber, a week or so before that, over at Mosinee Cold Storage. Obviously, really important part of the state when it comes to the state's economy. Pleased to be here with not only the town leadership, but Senator Jerry Prochazki and State Representative Ed Brooks on this legislation that will really open the door towards more development, more jobs, a healthier economy. And not just for the towns they'll take advantage of it, but my belief is firmly that as towns are able to advance, that helps others in the region. So, for example, here in north central Wisconsin, if the town of Rib Mountain is doing well and adding new development, it'll help other communities from Wausau to Brokaw to Mosinee and others in between. That's part of the reason why Synergy, the regional economic development effort, is really so focused on bringing more jobs, more developers, more businesses to the region.
Will a bill like this help prevent having separate bills like had to be done with the Amazon project?
Yeah, this opens the door. I mean, those were specific instances, and I think, again, I give credit to the legislature for working out a way to get this through on a reasonable consensus going forward. But this is something that, again, I think it's real important. 2 days ago in Oshkosh, I signed a change in terms of TIF legislation for cities that helps make sure those cities that did TIF districts earlier before the recession in the mid to early 2000s, where the values have dropped dramatically from where they were originally, adjust those so that they can use the TIF district financing mechanism in cities to do things like taking down industrial sites, cleaning up environmental remediation, putting in new infrastructure. Those things will help cities flourish when it comes to TIF districts. In this case, really what it's about is larger urbanized towns having a completely different set of circumstances, but really looking at having access to infrastructure needs that many major developers as well as small developers are looking for. It's two different types of development. It's not taking one from the other. It's saying there's some places that certain employers, certain development projects are going to look at that are in towns, that others that are much more focused on industrial sites. In both cases, we just made changes this week that will help both cities and towns alike, and that's good for everybody in the state.
And, sir, you also just recently signed, passed the chemo bill, the oral chemo bill. Can you tell me a little bit? I saw that it's not going to start taking effect until January. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, the timing is it's for people already have plans right now. Usually the plans start at the beginning of the year, and so it's just as simple as that's the way the law was originally written, is that to make a change in terms of what can be required under an insurance plan, you can't do it in the middle of when somebody already has a contract. But most of the plans here and across the state would be renewed and start up again as of January 1. The law goes into effect immediately, but in terms of the impact on insurance plans, it would be when they're coming up again at the beginning of the year.
While you're on the medical topic, any thoughts on the cannabis oil bill?
Yeah, for us, we're reviewing it just because, in principle, I think it's fine. The reason we review it, though, is last week I issued one of the few vetoes I did this session. It was on a bill that, again, I agreed with in principle on raffles, but where the way they drafted it with a last-minute substitute amendment, They changed it so dramatically, I think unintentionally, they had an impact on Indian gaming compacts, voiding potentially a number of them in the state. Nobody wanted that, so we vetoed that. I don't foresee a problem like that, but we just want to make sure that with something as nearly drafted as this, that there isn't any inadvertent way that this would go further. The way that we understand it to have been passed, it would say by no means comes even close to medical marijuana laws that you see in other states. Certainly doesn't come close to legalizing marijuana. It is the byproduct that would be narrowly used, particularly for young people. It's one of the few areas for certain types of seizure victims who are minors. Apparently there's some success rate elsewhere across the country in that regard. This would allow the byproduct from that to be used under very strict guidance for someone either through a doctor or a pharmacist under the state medical examining board. And so we just want to make sure before we sign it that everything that's been identified in terms of how they argued to pass it is indeed matches up with what would be in the statutes.
With the Senate wrapping up on Tuesday, were you satisfied with the action on voter ID, and do you plan a special session?
Well, we'll certainly look. I had hoped that maybe the Senate would bring up a version the Assembly had passed that made a few tweaks that I think respond to a few of the very specific narrow concerns that have been raised as the courts at both the state and the federal level have listened to the voter ID case. It is clear elsewhere in the country that other states have been able to enact laws that were ultimately upheld as being constitutional by federal courts. I want to make sure we can do the same. And so between now and probably sometime later this summer, as we look at what the right time is, I'd prefer to do it before the courts act, but we want to make sure we've got a consensus between the Assembly and the Senate. So I don't have a strict timeline other than having a law that says voter ID is required, but at the same time, there should be no cost, so there's no deterrent to people who don't have means. They can get a state-issued driver's license or voter ID or a state-issued identification card upon request at no cost from DMV. And I think the other thing we need to tweak a little bit is making sure people have access to birth certificates if they need them to get those ID measures. But once that's taken care of, if we can tweak that, there's no reason to believe why the law wouldn't be upheld.
And then I saw yesterday you commented about Bill Cramer and about how you think he should step down. Can you give me your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've said for many weeks now that before the charges were brought up that I said if these were accurate, he should step down. Obviously, charges have been brought forward. I think, it's incumbent upon him to step down. I understand the legislature's concern. Many of them have wanted to take action to expel him. But after they looked at this more closely with legal counsel, the concern was that because there's a case pending right now, that actually their actions could potentially interfere with that case, and I don't think anybody wanted to do that. But in the end, I think, you know, the fact that they removed him from his position, the speaker removed him from all of his committee assignments, he's basically out there in no man's land right now in terms of the legislature, and it's really not a Republican or a Democrat issue. It's one where I think there's pretty strong unanimous belief that the time would be right for him to step down and save everybody the hassle.
Question. The rest of your remarks about American City. Recently, I did a story about George Hiles, who owns George's Market.
Yeah.
Struggling business, complains about competition here in Rib Mountain, only 8 miles away. You really feel that this bill that you signed today will help George's Market?
Well, I think government shouldn't be picking winners and losers. We're providing a wide open opportunity. But to me, it's not a matter of whether if more people are working in this region, yes, I actually think more people will be going to his or any other business. If the idea is that we're only going to help one community and not another pursue economic development, the reality is that those jobs will go somewhere else. They'll be in the Chippewa Valley or they'll be in Green Bay or somewhere else. So from that standpoint, you can't force people to go into places where their development doesn't fit. But in the end, if there's more jobs, more people are working, developments I've seen before, all my years at the local level as well as in the state, hiring isn't limited to just if there's a development here in the town of Rib Mountain. There'll be people certainly working from throughout the region. And per the example you gave, there'd be more people who'd have the money to go and purchase things at his store or any other retail location.
How about those Badgers? Where are you going to be watching the game?
I'm going to watch them at home. I'm going to watch with some family and friends. Cowboys AT&T Stadium, I went there years ago for the Super Bowl. It was a great place to watch football. for the amount we'd have to pay and how high up we'd sit. I'd get a much better seat sitting at home with a bunch of family and friends all wearing red and having a good time. Although my youngest son, who's a freshman at the University of Wisconsin, was one of the lucky ones who randomly got picked in the raffle. I think it's 700 some students who have season tickets. We're able to buy tickets for $40. Pretty amazing. Although the key is they can't sell them. They have to literally take the credit card they bought them with and their student ID, or they won't get in, so they can't sell them off. But he and four other guys, or four guys in total, I guess it is, are using my Pacifica, or Red Pacifica, no less, and driving down this afternoon. So the ultimate road trip for a UW student. Yeah, I'm sure I'll probably get some pretty good pictures from his tweets on the way down.